And so tonight we want to go to Galatians, Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 and 23. Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 and 23. Again, this is written by Paul, and it starts off, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law." And I want to read this out of the Amplified too. And it says, "But the fruit of the Spirit, the result of His presence within us, is love, unselfish concern for others, joy, inner peace, patience, not the ability to wait, but how we act while waiting, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law." And so, for a good part of the week, these verses were on my mind. And so, the Lord I just felt like that you know, this would be something that we can look into, you know. And so, as time allows, I just feel impressed maybe to do a study on each one of these fruits of the Spirit. And when we receive salvation, young people, we receive the Holy Spirit. Would you agree with that? We do. When we receive salvation, we receive the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit's working, is active within us. And so, He's in our hearts and lives. And by having the Holy Spirit active and working in our lives, there are fruits that every Christian should be producing. Just like a tree. We don't have any fruit trees in our yard, but I know my mother-in-law has fruit trees. We had fruit trees while growing up. And I know we had apple trees, we had a peach tree, we had a cherry tree. We had different trees in our yard. And the expectation was that in the spring they bloom, and throughout, you know, at certain times in the summer, we would have fruit come from those particular trees. And so the expectation is, as a young person or as a child of God, when we receive salvation, there are certain fruits that we're expected to bear. And so tonight we want to look at, and as we, you know, as we mature and grow in the things of God and allow the Spirit to teach us, you know, when we do receive salvation, we receive the Holy Spirit. Does that mean, boom, we're automatically a mature Christian? Absolutely not. We grow, right? But I will say this, as Brother Decker says, when we become saved, we're perfect. In God's eyes, we are perfect. But we continue to need perfecting, right? And what is that perfecting work? As God shows us, as God brings us along, we mature in the things of God. God shows us things, we move up, we walk in the light. And so again, these fruits will become evident as we mature in the things of God. You know, and over the years, His Spirit has had to work on me. Help me to become a better fruit bearer. I think all of us, we have a desire to become better fruit bearers. Now, if you remember, there are certain situations, or there were certain instances in the Bible that there were, I think it was a fig tree, right? That did not bear. Jesus cursed it, right? It died. But also, I believe the Bible talks about if a tree is not bearing fruit, it is only worthy of being hewn down, right? And so, young people tonight, God wants us to bear the fruits of salvation. He wants us to bear the fruit that, you know, that a Christian should be bearing. And so as we face, young people, an uncertain future, we are going to find that we're going to need each other. And we're talking about the people of God. That's what I'm talking about tonight. We need each other more and more. And however, we've got an enemy. And that enemy is going to do his best to sow seeds that will try to divide us or separate us from one another. But, you know, many times, Who is our biggest enemy? This person right there. Me. The guy that looks himself in the mirror every morning when I go to brush my teeth and put in my contact. I don't have to comb my hair, so I guess I just brush my teeth and put in my contact. But anyway, this guy right here, the person I look at in the mirror, is my biggest enemy. And this flesh wants to have its way. But the first fruit that we want to talk about tonight is love. And if this person has his way, then we can't show the love. We can't show the love of God like we should be showing, right? And it could be that when we hold out for our own way, we're holding out for our thoughts, our opinions, our way of thinking, rather than putting others before us. And sometimes that's hard, isn't it? Sometimes it's hard putting others before us. Maybe there's something that we want to do, something that we had planned, something that was, you know, something that was going on, and you think, you know, sometimes we have to rearrange our plans for others. You know, there have been times that, you know, I had something to do, I had something planned, and one of the children would call me up and say, "Hey, I need your help." Well, sometimes the flesh goes, "I needed to get this done. I wanted to get this done." But you know what? Out of love, I go help that child. And so sometimes, again, this flesh has its wants, has its desires, and we have to push those desires and those thoughts and those wants aside for others. That's what love is, right? That's what love is. And as a Christian, what is our primary mission tonight? What is our primary mission? To serve God, right? And others. Would you agree with that? That's our primary mission tonight. To serve God and to serve others. We are servants. We are servants. And so again, let's spend a little time tonight looking at the first fruit of the Spirit, and that is love. And so when Jesus came, he took the law. I want you to think about this. As I was reading in a commentary this morning, he took the law. What is the law? It's broken down into 10 what?
Commandments.
10 commandments. 10 commandments. He broke it down to 2. He broke it down to 2. He took those 10 commandments and he broke it down to 2. And if you look at the 2 tables, you know, a lot of times we associate the 10 commandments with 2 tables. Basically, the first table talked about our love for God. The second table talked about what? Our love for one another. Our love for our fellow man. And I guess I never kind of associated that way until, you know, that commentary talked about that. But we took the 10 commandments and brought it down to 2 particular commandments. And in Matthew 22:37, it says, "And Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind." That takes in the first 5 commandments. Verse 38 says, "This is the first great commandment." Verse 39, "And the second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself." That takes in commandments 6 through 10. And young people, if you look at the fruit of the Spirit, why did he mention love first? All the other fruits pretty much hinge on the very first fruit of the Spirit, and that is love. If we don't have love, young people, we can't include all the other fruits of the Spirit in our lives. So this is the first thing as a Christian, is the first fruit that we need to bear is our love for God and our love for our fellow man. He goes on in verse 40, it says, "And on these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets." And this is Jesus here talking. And let's go to 1 John 4:7 real quick. 1 John 4:7. And it says here, "Beloved, Let us love one another, for the love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. And so, young people, tonight I wholeheartedly believe that the closer we draw to God, the closer we draw to God tonight, the more we will love our brothers and sisters in Christ and others. Do you believe that? I believe that. The closer we draw to God, the greater the love we are going to have for one another, and the greater love that we are going to have for others. And so, I might stop and ask right now, is our love for God where it ought to be? Is our love for God where it ought to be? You know, I think about God, and I think about the situation or the sin that I was in, and He loved me unconditionally. Now, there are conditions to salvation, but He loved me unconditionally. Christ loved me unconditionally. He went to the cross and died, right? And Christ didn't say that I only go to the cross on this condition, this condition, this condition, this condition. He didn't do that. He didn't do that. He went to the cross unconditionally for me and for you, that we might have salvation, that we might be able to live a life in Christ tonight. And so, again, is our love for God where it ought to be? Only you can answer that question tonight. Only you can answer that question tonight. Now, if not, if our love's not exactly where it needs to be with God, then how can our love for others be where it ought to be? Ever thought about that? So I want you to think about something here. And the easy illustration, I guess you might say, that we can use here is think about your own family. Think about your own family. Is everyone the same? Is everyone the same? I certainly hope not. We don't all have the same likes. Sometimes we're completely opposite of one another. You know, sometimes we look at ones and you think, how in the world can this one and this one come from the same family, because they are polar opposites of one another? But you know what? Within our family, we make allowances for those differences, right? Why? Because we love one another. Is that true? Now, sometimes those differences get in the way. Sometimes it creates a little strife, a little stress. But we love one another, right? Let's face it, there are certain ones within your family that you might be closer to one another. Maybe it's a certain brother, a certain sister that you just are a little bit closer to. Generally, there might be someone that you just click a little better with within your family. Maybe you have a lot of the same likes and you just get along a little bit better. But regardless of our differences, we love them for who they are, right? We love them for the things that they bring to the table, those things that they add to the family. We love them for that. Now, there are certain times that we get agitated with one another, right? Is that true? Come on, Alan. I think we all get agitated with one another. Most of the time, we work those agitations out, right? With the Lord's help, we do that. Because we love one another, we work those things out. And sometimes we need to love each other enough to sometimes even agree to disagree and continue to love one another. Because sometimes maybe there are situations where you just, I've told people before, I don't agree with you. I probably never will agree with you. And the same thing, people have told me that. And that's fine. But we need to love one another, right? We need to love one another. What happens when someone in your family might be attacked verbally? I'm not talking so much physically, but what happens when somebody in your family gets attacked? You come to the rescue, right? You look out for them, right? You don't go say, here, have them. If that's the case, you're wrong. All right? If we stick up for one another. I mean, there's situations where our family can disagree with one another or whatever, but if somebody else comes in and jumps in, it's like, hey, you're not allowed to do that. You're not allowed to do that. You can't pick on my sister like that. You can't pick on my brother like that. But I can disagree with them all I want, but don't pick on them like that. Right? We defend them. We don't join in on the attack, or we don't give them up to the attack, right? And if we're concerned, we pray for them. We do our best to help them. And we don't talk behind their back and make their way more difficult. And so the reason why I bring out this illustration tonight is that, you know, I think about our church family. I think about our young people's family, if you want to break it down even further to our young people's family. But even when we go out into the world, we are parts of little small communities, right? Small communities where we might be going to school, we might be going to work, we might be, you know, we might be doing other things, maybe at certain team sports, whatever it might be. We're parts of little small communities. And young people, our job is to show forth the love of God tonight. That's our job. That's our primary responsibility. And so, you know, going back to our church family, our young people's family, you know, if we're not careful and our love for God's where it's not supposed to be, then we allow our lack of love for God to affect our relationships below, right? And if our love for God's where it's not supposed to be, then our love for each other, our love for one another is not where it needs to be. And again, tonight, you know, there are times when, you know, we have ones within our young people's group. You know, we all have our likes, we all have our dislikes. We all have maybe our funny ways about us. We all might have, you know, just different personalities about us. But we're all family, right? We're all family. And so, young people, as we finish up our thoughts tonight, we can go a whole lot deeper. But I just think about, you know, God loved us unconditionally. Christ loved us unconditionally. And there are going to be times, and we're in turbulent times right now. And if we're not as close to God as we ought to be, and our love is not hot, you know, Sister Sherry talked about in our Sunday school lesson this morning about the Laodicean age, right? We're living in that age. And their love for God was what? In the Laodicean age, what was their love? Was it hot? Cold? It was lukewarm. It was lukewarm. God says, I'll spew thee out of my mouth. And so, God's desire is for our love for Him to be hot, right? Our love for Him to be hot. And when our love for God is hot, then our love for one another is going to be where it needs to be. And so tonight, again, the first fruit of the Spirit is love. And all these other ones where it talks about joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. All these things hinge on that very first fruit of love. So how's our love tonight? How's our love tonight? How's our love for God? How's our love for one another? So tonight, I ask you to take inventory. Where is your love tonight? Where is your love?